Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We have tonight's guest, author and cancer survivor, Lisa Marie Wilson.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Amelia Callie Teschner. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been looking forward to this show, and especially since all week so many things happen to me that I keep saying to myself, oh, that's a monologue, oh, that's a monologue, oh, that's a monologue. And then I wonder which one's going to stick, because, you know, which one's going to be appropriate for the guests that we have or the musical guests and all of that. And this one was one that happened early this week, and I thought, oh, will it stick till Monday? And it did, because it's about inspiration. And so I have a friend that I've known for many, many years, and I love dearly. And every time we talk, he's always either telling me, well, not either, it's usually both. He's telling me all the bad things or that are happening in his life, or he's telling me, and or he's telling me all the bad things that are happening in the world. And then when I start to tell something good, he'll say, well, the world's ending anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And so at the beginning of this week, I wanted to point out to this friend, I said, you know, I just have to tell you that I have been listening to you give me all the bad news in the world and in your life every single conversation. Do you know you do that? And he said, well, not all the time. I'm like, yes, all the time. And if it's not, if I'm the one talking, you tell me the world is going to end. And he says, well, it is. And I said, see? And he said, well, you know, I'm not Pollyanna. I said, I'm not Pollyanna either. But I find inspiration in everything. I see that there are problems, but I also get inspired. Like, by the way, our guest tonight, and for that matter, our musical guest. So I said, I also get inspired. Everywhere I go, I find something inspiring. So the next day, I said, I'm going to a play, and it's about Lenny Bruce. And I don't know anything about Lenny Bruce, but I think I'm going to be inspired by Lenny Bruce. And he said, who's Lenny Bruce? And I said, I don't know, but I'm going to a play. It's called I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. So I went to the play, and it's in this small, lovely theater that I didn't even know existed near where I live. And I open up the program, which I don't always do. I always like to save paper and say, no, thank you. You could keep that because I'm probably not going to read it and, you know, give it to somebody else or let's recycle. But I open this one up, and there's a welcome letter from not only the guy who was acting in this one-man play, but he also wrote the one-man play. It happens to be directed by Joe Mantegna. And he actually created the theater. And this is what he wrote in the welcome letter that inspired me. And I thought, I didn't even have to wait for the play to start to be inspired. This is what I read. With only 68 cents in my bank account, I was still convinced that you can make a living doing what you love. It was with this total in my checkbook that I landed my first acting role. 68 cents is what I was willing to have in order to realize my dream. Acting is a passion, not an art, and a need that fills my gut. It is this passion that motivated me almost 16 years ago to pull together a group in Los Angeles of the most talented friends I have and create a company I lovingly named the 68 Cent Crew. And now 15 and a half years later, that's where I saw this play. Thank you, Ronnie Marmo, not just for your play. I am not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce at the 68 Cent Theater, but also for inspiring me with what you wrote. And not mistakenly, of course, we are going to be talking to our guest about some inspirational stories. Not all fun, by the way, but the way she looks at it is inspiring. But I have to say, talk about inspiring. She walks in and she brought us all gifts. She brought wine, she brought a book, and like some people have done, although nobody's brought wine before, so just note that's really special. But she did. She brought each one of us a card. And not coincidentally, all of them say really wonderful things. But mine said, to be fully awake, one must first have a dream. Talk about inspiring. Dorothy's said, is this Dorothy's or is this Mark? Dorothy said, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible. And Marx says, employ magical thinking. Well, I can't wait to be inspired by our guest who asks the question, did I cause my cancer? So Lisa Marie Wilson is with us, and joining us actually is her daughter at the age of 13 as our musical guest, Amelia Cali Teschner, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Lejour. And sorry, I opened up your card and read it before you had a chance to, but the monologue was starting.
We share on this show.
Okay, yes, we share.
But first off...
Well, I opened up Dorothy's, too. She doesn't even know. That Dorothy, that was your card thing.
Who's okay. Pollyanna?
Pollyanna.
Who's Pollyanna?
Don't get me started.
Such an awesome show tonight. Such an inspirational guest. Can't wait to hear her daughter share her gifts. These two are kind of the essence of why we started this show. Talking about walking one's walk and having overcome adversity and really making the best of one's life. It's an inspiration. I'm really looking forward to it.
Indeed. And she asked some great questions as well as give some great tips. She is a writer, an actress, a producer, who was born in Michigan, actually Flint, Michigan, but currently resides here in Los Angeles. In her first novel, Traveling Daisy, a generational cancer story of disease and dysfunction, explores the question, did I cause my cancer? Well, she's gone on to write other books, a comedy, and so much more. But before we go on to all that, let's welcome Lisa Marie Wilson to the show. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
Or is it Lisa Marie, or can I just
say just call me Lisa. Oh, okay. Okay. That was my father.
Well, because actually your name...
Yes, my dad was an Elvis impersonator, and he named me after Elvis's daughter, Lisa Marie.
Yeah, so that's a great place to start the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Back in Flint, Michigan, I mean, that's famous because of something that not so fun happened there.
Right. I mean, it started with Roger and Me, Michael Moore's movie, and then he did another movie after that called Pets or Meat, and he went back to the same people, and at that point they were so destitute they were like having their rabbits as pets and then eating them they had no food. Then just recently the water crisis where there's no clean water in Flint, so Flint's had a really rough time.
Yeah, so much going on there, but not only has Flint had a hard time, but so have a lot of the people living there, and you and your family were some of those people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, generationally, I'm the fifth generation in my family to have cancer. So when I looked back after, you know, my mom passed from cancer, and then my grandmother had cancer before that. And then I started talking to her, and she's like, well, my father had colon cancer, and his mother died of breast cancer. And they all lived in that area. Yeah. So I think it's just not a good area to live in.
Yeah.
But I got out, so...
Yeah.
I'm like...
Well, you got out in many ways. You got out from... not only the city, but your circumstances, your family in a sense as well, and also how you've done it. We'll talk about it today, but out of a certain mentality. So what are some of the things you got out of? Because you grew up how?
I grew up in a trailer park and on food stamps, welfare. And, you know, I hear these stories where people like, you know, screw people on welfare. They're just taking advantage of the system. And it's like, I'm so thankful that I got fed. You know, we went to soup kitchens and we went to free church dinners. And my mom went to college and became a nurse and she got us off there. And I think that was what it's for, to help people while they're transitioning and trying to figure out what, you know, how they can better their lives. So I'm so thankful for it. And I defend people like people need to eat. It's the kids that are the ones that are suffering without having good food. And so my mom became a nurse and then she was a traveling nurse and she got a job in Sacramento. So I went with her and went to college in Sacramento. So I was lucky to have that escape route with her.
Wow. And that began your movement forward to all of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Now. So then I went to Sac State and then I ended up here in LA. And so why I started writing Traveling Daisy is that my mom was diagnosed with ocular melanoma, which is really rare. And especially in Michigan, where it's not that sunny, you know, that's more of a disease that happens in Southern California or in Australia. It's common. And so I was going through her journey with her through all her treatments. I started writing. And then within a year of her passing, I got cancer. And so then I just wrote like what to do if your loved one is dealing with cancer, whether it's, you know, terminal or non-terminal, and then what to do if you have cancer and how to fight it. And I think you just have to, you know, move forward. You can't like get caught like deer in headlights. Like, what do I do? It's like, you just have to keep your head down and just keep fighting it.
Traveling Daisy. What does that mean?
My mom was a travel nurse and she loved traveling and she was so delicate. She, you know, had some problems as a child and like, I feel like she was never really a strong person. I mean, she's strong enough to become a nurse and travel and stuff, but she's very sensitive and innocent and like really delicate, like a flower, like a daisy. And that was her favorite flower. Aww. So it's named after her.
Oh, wow. What was her name?
Kathy Ann Wilson.
So what's interesting to me is you've said so much. Here is somebody growing up this way and a mother living this way with that kind of, you know, as you said, welfare and food stamps and all that. But she didn't want to be there and she saw something more. And something that, how did she see it?
I think she was embarrassed. I mean, you know, she grew up, my grandparents, her parents are lovely. They had a business. They worked hard. So when my mom married my dad, who was an Elvis impersonator, a struggling Elvis impersonator who never really, you know, fulfilled his artistic desires the way he wanted. I think she, you know, wanted to be a functional human being and give back to the world. And so when she became a nurse, she was always, we had all the strays, you know, all the like homeless kids living with us. She let one guy who stole my whole wardrobe, we saw him at the mall. I'm like, Mom, there he is. He's wearing all my clothes. She goes, honey, he needs them more than you do.
Well, he was wearing your clothes.
Yeah.
He was wearing your clothes.
Well, I'm a tall, thin girl. So, and I was awkward and I didn't know how to shop or where to go because when you're on welfare, you don't shop. And then my mom got a job and was a nurse and I still didn't know where to shop. So I think I was shopping at like the Walmart or something and I was wearing boys' jeans because they were long enough for me. Because I didn't really even know that, like, you know, you could get women's jeans that were longer.
There was a lot you didn't know.
I didn't know much.
Yeah. Which is hard to believe. You're still discovering things today, actually, that you didn't know. People say something and you say, well, I didn't know that. And people say, how could you not know that? But people don't seem to make the connection that when you grow up poor, that you didn't have certain things.
Yeah.
Like channels on your TV.
Yeah, someone just told me, like, well, you grew up watching MTV. And I'm like, we had three channels if we were lucky, if the rabbit ears were coming in good. Yeah. So, you know, we didn't have money for cable or anything like that. So, no, I didn't grow up watching MTV. I mean, now I can watch, you know, the channel when it gets the flashback to the 80s. And I'm like, oh, that was my childhood.
Interesting. Oh, that was my childhood. Yeah. Oh. That was the childhood I didn't have.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, so your dad's dreams weren't fulfilled and potentially that might have led to some of the other issues that came about. And so with your father being an alcoholic, I think we want to talk a little bit about that when we come back and then lead into all the other stuff and how you're seeing the world. More on that with Lisa Marie Wilson when we come back. And as we mentioned, we're going to have Amelia Callie Teschner, her daughter, on as our musical guest on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show. We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Lisa Marie Wilson. We're talking about her book, Traveling Daisy, A Generational Cancer Story of Disease and Function. And it became a number one bestseller on Amazon. But before we go on to more of the book, your dad was an influence, and not always in a good way.
Right. I mean, I looked up to him because he would get on stage and he'd perform. And now as an actress, I love going and doing theater and getting on stage and performing. So that he gave me that. So I have to find the good. Like, you have to, you know, when you have an abusive parent, you always love them no matter what. But if you focus on the bad, you know, he's gone now. So, you know, I have to find the good. So actually the third book I'm writing now is called Love Letters from a Pickle Factory. And it was all the letters he wrote me for the 1 year he held a job. And it was at a pickle factory.
Oh, wow.
And before that, he never really would hold a job. But it was a job that he didn't really have to do anything. He sat at a desk and he was the manager. I don't know how he got the job. But he wrote me a letter every day. And sometimes it was on the back of the Vlasic pickle labels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
I found the love. Like, now I'm, you know, writing his letters down and then, you know, responding to what was happening. And he would tell crazy stories and like make up people and just try to make me laugh. And I realized he loved me. Like, he sent me those letters, like reaching out, going like, "You're in California, I'm in Michigan at a pickle factory, but I love you."
Wow. Wow, what a great title, Love Letters from a Pickle Factory. Actually, your second novel, and at first I thought, oh, I wish we were talking about that one, but we don't have time for it. But Dating for Dinner, Ordering Love is about dating. Wait, is that right?
Yeah.
Dating for Dinner, Ordering Love?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is about the dating scene in Los Angeles. I mean,
there's a whole show there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but we can't talk about that. So,
okay.
So why did you write Traveling Daisy? Your mom's in the hospital.
Yeah. So I'm just, you know, in the hospital with her. I never left her. I was in the hospital from the time she was there until we got out, like multiple times she was in and out of the hospital. And so I had my laptop and she was sleeping a lot. She was really sick. She had gone through chemo, radiation, surgeries. She had multiple cancers, actually, besides ocular melanoma. She had carcinoid tumors in her lungs. So she was having a hard time breathing. She was coughing all the time. So I was like up all the time. So I was just typing and I just typed everything that was happening, kept a blog for my family so they could just go on the internet and read instead of like calling me and me having to explain it to everybody. And so after she passed, I, like, for my own therapy, it was just writing about everything that happened, like the day she died, like how that went down. And then I was thinking, like, you know, she went through so much and I wanted to explore her life a little bit. So then I interviewed my grandmother and was talking to other family members. And then that's when I found out that I was the fifth generation. And then within a year of her dying, I got diagnosed with cancer, and I had thyroid cancer, which is why my throat sounds funny, because the surgery didn't go as planned and they paralyzed my vocal cords and they took my parathyroid glands. So I had to take calcium and extra supplements to keep my calcium up. And people are like, why didn't you sue? And I'm like, it was an accident. Like, he didn't mean to do it. And, you know, it was because my cancer was so, like, wrapped around and had been gone, going for so long, because I was so focused on my mom, I wasn't even realizing that I wasn't feeling good. And then after she passed, I'm like, wait, I don't feel good. And the doctor kept going, well, your mom died. I'm like, yeah, but that was a year ago. Something else is wrong. And then they figured it out. And then since then, you know, I have to do body scans every year. So I think, you know, one of the great tips in the book is, like, you just have to stay up on your health. Like, if you're supposed to get scanned every year, get scanned, because they did a scan a couple years ago and they found a liver tumor and they thought it was cancer and it was in the back. And they're like, well, even if they did a biopsy, they wouldn't know for sure. It could be, you know, a misdiagnosis. So they took out the part of the liver, and, like, I'm so thankful, because what if it was cancer? You know, and I did the scan and they found out that it wasn't, but could have been.
You also have some tips in here that I hope we get to explore before our time's up together, on how to, like, avoid certain things. But before we get into to those, you tell, like, all in this book. Where did you get the courage? I mean, you just opened up your heart, or opened up, you're like, here I go.
Well, I was really exploring, did I cause my cancer? Did my family, I love my family. I have the best family, and more in particular, my father. He was an abusive alcoholic. So did that, being raised with someone who, you know, damaged my self-esteem and damaged me mentally, like, nonstop, like, did that, like, contribute to my health and, like, me not being able to find my voice? Because obviously thyroid cancer is connected with, like, not speaking your truth or not being able to tell your story. So I'm like, I'm just gonna tell my story.
I'm smiling and nodding here, and I'm realizing I'm not saying anything, and it is radio.
Yeah, I think it's important to show other people that, you know, you can grow up an abusive, poor family and come on the other side. I have an amazing life in California. I have a beautiful daughter. I'm so blessed.
You, I've gotten to see a couple of your actress reels.
Oh no!
Oh yes, but I haven't seen anything you produce, actually. Where do you like acting better or producing better?
I like both. I like writing, so if I can write something and then either just produce it or be in it or whatever. I did a yoga video for my girlfriend. I think yoga is important. I think a lot of people need it. It's kind of boring for me. Like, she's always like, "Did you do the yoga video?" I'm like, no. I went out and hiked. Does that count? But I think exercising, eating healthy, avoiding, you know, bad things like nonstick pans. And I mean, if you look at the box on a nonstick pan, it's like, if you have a bird, then don't use it. So if the fumes are toxic enough to kill your bird, like, they're hurting you too. Like, don't use those. And yeah, just stay out of the sun. My mom had melanoma. Stay out of the sun.
Wow. Do people come to you and ask you, like, how can you help me, kind of thing? Like, they're looking for you to help them.
Yeah. I mean, I, like, give them copies of my book for free, and I, talk to them about just, like, really researching and finding the best doctor and, trying to stay positive. I mean, in my book, my mom was so positive, and she made jokes every day, and she just, like, never acted like she was going to die. And so when I was going through my cancer, I'm like, I'm not dying. And Amelia and I are going to go travel, and we're going to have a great time, and just stay positive, because that's, like, makes all the difference in the world.
Well, speaking of all the difference, you seem to have a new lease on life. So you thought you were going to die.
Yeah.
And you're not.
No, thank God. I'm so thankful that I'm not dying.
And so now you're looking forward to some exciting things in your life, like you said, you and Amelia traveling, and your daughter was practicing earlier, and you were getting emotional over that, and it's like you're really invested in life, like you're really present, and you weren't that before.
No, I think like also as you go through life and you experience different things, you realize what's important, and like, there's so many things that people focus on, like negative, like what's happening with our political thing. And if you just flip it and be like, wow, look what's happening with all the kids uprising, and like it's everything's shifting and it's amazing. Because I have friends who are so depressed about Trump, and I'm like, that's going to ruin your day. You have to spin it and be like, what's great about what's happening right
like
now?
Like my friend that keeps telling me the world is ending.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, you're like, I can't stay friends with you if you're just going to be negative all right? the time.
Right.
Because it kind of affects you, too.
Oh, it definitely does. And
unless
and
he knows exactly when, that could be helpful.
With that?
Unless he knows exactly when. So that could be helpful.
Well, and I've been asking myself the same question. It's like, how is this helping? Because on the other side of the coin, I had a friend just out of the blue say, I'm calling you to spread joy. And that made me go look for a song about joy. And then I posted that and then shared it. And then friends shared it. And it was like we all had this moment of joy just because a friend did something crazy and said, I'm calling you just to bring joy.
That's so sweet.
Isn't it?
Yeah. If everyone was doing that, can you imagine what the world would be like?
Yeah. Can you?
Joyful.
Oh my gosh, maybe that then. Brilliant.
Okay. So but you're also sharing with people. Not only are you helping them, but you're also, you say to them, it has to be them, right? It has to come from them because at the end of the day, it's them.
Yeah. And I mean, my mom was really bad at making decisions. So I had to make most of her decisions. And I look back and I'm like, that was a huge responsibility to put on me, you know, because then I look back, did I make the right decisions for her? Mm. And she didn't live. So when I had to go through my cancer, I have to make the decisions for me because I don't want anyone else to feel guilty that they told me what to do and it didn't work. Mm. So you really have to step up and just take responsibility and just, I mean, don't focus on, you know, what it is like tomorrow. Just keep your head down. Like, what do I have to do today? And then what do I do tomorrow? You know, and not like focus on like, what if I die? Or what if this or what if that? Because that's not living. You have to go live life. Life is about living.
Yeah, I just, is it me or has she got like a bundle of energy here?
I'm just so thankful and grateful. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And you know, speaking of thankful and grateful, there are things that you are thankful and grateful for that most people wouldn't even think about. Like, give us a couple examples.
Well, like, so the day I found out that I definitely had cancer, I went to the grocery store and I bought everything in the store that was chocolate. And I went home and I'm like, I've never eaten a whole gallon of ice cream. I'm going to do it. You know, like if I'm dying, I'm going to eat the gallon ice cream. I got like 3 bites in. So that didn't work. But the next day I was driving to a treatment or something and the air conditioning was on. I'm like, oh my God, it feels so good. Like, what if I was in a car that didn't have air right now? I'd be miserable. Like, I was so thankful for the air. And then, like, I got home that night and I had ice cubes in the ice tray. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's ice cubes. And, like, all the little things that no one even thinks about. Like, if you didn't have it, it would totally change your life. Like, so all those things add up and you're not grateful. And then all of a sudden, you're not grateful. But if you start with the little things and be grateful, then everything can be grateful.
I love that. And obviously you have ice cubes galore now and air conditioning.
That's your next book, Ice Cubes and Air Conditioning.
A how-to guide on how to make them.
Well, because there was a time when you knew what that was like not to have air conditioning and whatever.
Oh, yeah. The cars we drove, like, didn't have floorboards. Like, literally, we'd have to take wood and put down on the floor because they were rusted out. I mean, that's a problem in Michigan, probably not here. But, yeah, like, no.
I had that floor. In Cleveland. We used our feet.
That's nice.
Were you being serious?
Kind of.
Really? Okay. Well, I don't know.
Not the feet part, but the holes in the floorboard were very familiar.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, like the Flintstones. Okay, so you're talking about in the car. I'm thinking in the house.
And they're just so old beater cars. I mean, like, one was a Green Nova, and it was called the Green Machine. Like, we're lucky if it started.
They didn't have this in Carmel.
Wow. No.
Oh, is that where you were?
Yeah.
Monterey. Aw, that's so sweet. Well,
hey, what? I had my stuff. Let's not talk about that. We're here to talk about Traveling Daisy and our guest, Lisa Marie Wilson. And joining us in the next segment will be our musical guest, her daughter, Amelia Kelly Teschner, and Dorothy. Actually, Dorothy will be joining us in the next section, and then after that, Amelia. But Dorothy will be doing her Ask Dorothy segment, all coming up here on the Life Changes Show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Lisa Marie Wilson. And we've been talking about her book, Traveling Daisy. And, of course, it asks some very interesting questions. It gives some tips and also just an honest and maybe sometimes brutal look at life that certain people live. And I think one of the most beautiful parts of all of this is that she has a wonderful life now. It's certainly not devoid of any drama, because obviously her second book is about dating for dinner, ordering love, and the dating scene in Los Angeles. And I have a feeling that's not necessarily a really beautiful, pretty picture. So that's one of the great things, is like you share what life was like, and that you have a different life now, and it is possible. And then there was this cancer situation, and now you are cancer free, and so you are making things happen for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you don't like your life, you have to change it. It's all up to you. Like, no one's going to change it for you. And I've gone through periods where I've been afraid to move forward. And then it's like, when I finally get off that ledge, I always land. Always land. So sometimes you just have to go for it. And even if you're afraid to do something, it always pays off.
So what one of the things that I love to point out, especially with guests like you who are smart and beautiful, and you know, you have all of these wonderful qualities that people say, well, it's probably easy for her.
I wish it was. I mean, I've had many issues, but I go to therapy. I ask friends for, I mean, the thing is, like when you're going through cancer, I think I grew up so ashamed of having people help me. I didn't ask for help. So one of the good things, like if you have a friend that's going through cancer and you're like, what can I do? And they're like, nothing, just do something. Mm. Like buy them a gift card to a drugstore, because meds are expensive. Just go over to their house and do their dishes, or take their kid for the day without them asking, because I think some people are embarrassed to ask for help.
And this is a way that you've learned to use your voice. First of all, if someone's being abusive, you could say no, or what?
Yeah, my dad was abusive, and I had to pull away from him and say, Dad, you need to stop calling me when you're drunk and leaving voicemails that are terrible to me. And when you pull away, and then, you know, it's up to them if they're going to come back to you as a better person and treat you better. Mm. And if they don't, then that's their loss.
Okay. And then the other, the inverse of that, when someone's being wonderful to you.
You definitely have to tell people that you love them. Like, I mean, when my mom was dying, I was like, I love you so much. And I was like, you know what? I could have been nicer to her. I mean, I took care of her while she was dying. But when I was younger, I was a jerk. I was the one who was like, Mom, you can drop me off at the mall. I don't want you coming in. And now I look back and I'm like, I was not nice. That wasn't nice. It hurt her feelings. And at the time, I didn't care. But now when Amelia does something that's not very nice, I go, Mommy, or don't be mean to Mommy. Don't be mean to Mommy. She's like, what? I'm like, but you'll regret it later. You got to be nice now. So I think I tell my friends, like, be nice to your mom. Tell her you anybody that you love, just be open. Like, I have friends who've never told their parents they love them. I'm like, call them right now and tell them you love them. Tell your dad you love them right now or you're going to regret it. So I'm a pro love.
You're pro a lot of things. And thank you for bringing cards and wine and your book and your smile and your story and your open heart. And your positivity, you bring a lot.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And sharing all of your wisdom and more to come. Thank you so much, Lisa Marie.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. And Mark, we have a shout out, I believe, before our Dorothy segment.
Do have a shout out. We want to shout out the Melanoma Research Foundation, educating patients and physicians about the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of melanoma. That's melanoma.org. Please check it out, donate, support, and share with others.
And before our Ask Dorothy segment, I should say, isn't it wonderful how we all got cards that really were specific to us? Dorothy, yours in specific is so much of what you teach. Yeah.
I use this all of the time. Impossible is not a word that I'm familiar with. I am possible. Anything's possible. All is possible.
Perfect.
So thank you so much.
Amazing. And Dorothy, we have an Ask Dorothy tonight. Dorothy, my name is Mike, and I am in love with my girlfriend. However, there are days when I feel like she has no clue as to who I really am. And every time I think that I figured her out, something happens to say that I don't know her at all. What's the best way one can figure out if we are compatible with one another before we dive into a committed relationship?
Awesome question, Mike. I see more and more couples who don't know anything about one another and who are actually in reactionships rather than relationships. Years ago, I studied numerology because one of the things I know is that we live in a mathematical universe and that we choose certain mathematical vibrations to support us on our journeys. We choose our birthdays and we choose our names for the numbers they add up to. Dan Millman, who's been a guest on the Life Changes show, has written what I call the Owner's Manual for Humans. We get a manual for our phones, TVs, toasters, etc., but we don't get one to help us navigate our lives. Dan's book, The Life You Were Born to Live, is a most valuable tool. You can learn so much about yourself by simply adding up your birthday and then looking up the numbers in Dan's book. Dan covers life path issues, relationships, talents, work, and finances, as well as providing guidelines and recommendations for you, useful questions, and deepening your understanding. He also shares the spiritual laws for your specific numbers. Once you know more about you, then you can move on to your relationship numbers. You can add up your mother's, father's, sister's, brother's, or significant other's numbers and see their gifts and challenges. He has a section on the energies of relationships and easily explains the challenges of the combined numbers as well as the positive aspects. Knowing yourself is the key to your growth. Numerology helped me become a better me. Knowing more about others can change relationships into relationships. I trust you will find Dan's book to be extremely helpful. I refer to it at all of the time, and it has been a great gift to me personally and in my work as a life coach, healer, and teacher.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Okay, and with that, we will be right back with our musical guest, Lisa Marie Wilson's daughter, Amelia Callie Teschner, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations.
There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Lisa Marie Wilson. And joining us in the studio is a singer-songwriter who is all of 13. And actually, at the age of 9, she started as the lead singer of a band called Shattered Records, where they performed, including at the Hard Rock Cafe, at the Grove, the El Rey Theater here in Los Angeles, and other places as well. She loves playing the piano, bass, guitar, and ukulele, but her favorite instrument is her voice. Welcome to the show, Amelia Callie Teschner.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. You know, I want to say to Mom, next time you say something about, say something like, just drop me off at the mall.
I've never done that.
Very good. Well, I just wanted just her to remember how you were cheering her on from the other room. Weren't you?
Yeah.
You were given the yes, yeah. and she saw you. We all saw you. And your energy is infectious. And speaking of energy, you not only like to sing, but you also like to dance and act. And
yeah, I've been doing dance for a while, and I do somewhat of a lot of acting. I take acting class, do auditions, and yeah, I like it.
You like it. Well, I saw a video of you doing Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, in fifth grade. That was my fifth grade school play.
Okay, what grade are you in now?
Seventh.
Oh, seventh. Oh, okay. Is that junior high?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So you have been singing since before you were 9. So when did you start?
I started in preschool with my first piano lesson, and I was really bad, and I couldn't play whatever they were telling me to play. I'd play the opposite, and I did not know what I was doing, but then it got me to like music, and then I started taking it seriously when I was, like, 5 years old and, like, took guitar lessons, and then I'm self-taught on ukulele, and then when about, like, 6 years ago, I started playing bass, so...
But you're the band Shattered Records. There are 4 other members. You don't have to play all the instruments.
Oh no!
As a matter of fact, you just sing in that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen videos of that too. All right. So speaking of singing, what do you like to? Well, I was going to ask you, what do you like to write about?
Different topics, somewhat what's going on in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Like discrimination, mm-hmm. gun violence, which is not a great topic, but
big topics,
the big one, yeah. And also just like relatable things in general, mm-hmm. that might relate to other people and make them feel less alone in their current situations. So, yeah.
Right. And when you sing, what do you like to sing about? Because I'm thinking of you singing rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. I sing whatever people want me to sing.
Really?
I enjoy singing or more pop related songs, like current songs that you hear on the radio a lot, and not so much in the rock genre, but anything is fine.
Okay, because I saw a couple of videos of you singing rock. Was it Guns N' Roses? Or,
yeah.
Was it?
Like, okay. Kansas.
And where'd that come from? Just somebody just says, sing this, and you just sang
it? It's a rock band, so I kind of...
It is a rock band. Okay. How fun. Okay. Well, you are going to sing for us a song that you wrote fairly recently, right?
Yeah. I wrote it like a year ago.
A year ago, after something happened.
There was a shooting in Orlando at a gay bar, mm-hmm. and many people died and were injured. And there was one man in particular who got injured, and he was on the Ellen Show. He got shot multiple times, but his story was like really amazing, and he still survived, and he played dead, and he just kept going even though he probably had like a low chance of survival or like recovering from his injuries. He kept going, and then he used Ellen as his like mentor, just keep swimming, and he kept going, and now he's fully healed and recovered. And that's who I kind of wrote my song like inspired by.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. And so we're going to get to hear it. And so what are some of the things you touch on? Because it's called Me.
Yeah, it's just about being yourself and then not letting what others have to say about that or do, like, for example, shooting, mm-hmm. but not letting that, like, affect you, even though it will affect you, just, like, not letting it emotionally affect you, I guess.
Okay. Well, here's Amelia Cali Teschner performing Me live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you. No restrictions, no rules to follow. Best that I can be, anyone can see, 'cause I can't wait to be me.
Amelia Cali Teschner, congratulations.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, you did it.
Wow.
We knew you would. Of course, I trust you knew you would too. I didn't want to say anything before, but for me, singing in front of a large group is easier than doing exactly what you just did.
That is a lot easier.
Right?
And
but I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, and if, at least if people judge you, they're judging you right in front of you.
Well, nobody's judging you here. On the contrary, we're inspired. You know, you could be writing about so many things right now, but you saw somebody on TV and that inspired you, a social injustice, and that you make right by putting some words out there that people can maybe sing along to someday and relate to.
Yeah.
So thank you. Well, if you are inspired like we are, you can go to AmeliaCali.com and follow Amelia and see what she's up to. Amelia, AmeliaCalia, Cali is CALLIE.com, right? Very good. Well, we've got another song. Your mom just gave me the biggest smile. She's proud, I can tell. Do you want to say something?
I love you. Clams, I can't talk.
Beautiful. Well, so you also, you spend a lot of time writing songs, I understand.
Yeah, and I write about really relatable topics. And whenever something comes to mind, like something happens at school or I see something happen at school, I tend to write about it. Because that's the only way I know what to do with it.
Well,
it's really
great.
Because you're expressing yourself.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do. Well, and we'll get to actually some school topics in just a moment. But before that, so you spend a lot of time writing songs, but you also spend time volunteering.
Yeah, I do a lot of volunteer work. And I'm part of National Junior Honor Society, which is like social service, like you just have to give community service to other people and you do hours and then you try to get like 20 hours a year and then you like document it and volunteer and try to make the world a better place.
And some of those hours they're spent at the LA Family Housing?
Yeah, I do a lot of volunteering there. What we do is we try to provide things for the kids. Like we give them all my old clothes and things that they might need. And we also do arts and crafts and try to make their lives a little brighter. Even though they might not have much, we try to make what they have count. And the moments that they do spend happy, we want to make them the best moments that they can have.
Wow. Wow. Well, the two of you, what can we say? Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing and what you represent. And now, so we're going to hear a song. This song, actually, by the way, I should ask, so you've never performed on radio before, right?
No.
Yeah. So this is a first and it's very exciting.
Yeah,
and
my heart's pounding.
You're still pounding? And I keep saying it as I go. But you did it. So, you know, the next one's a piece of cake. So let me ask you this. Has your music been on radio before?
No, that's
all
a
right.
goal, though.
Well, there you... What I mean, it's a goal. It just happened. you're on radio now, and you're live.
Yeah.
So here's the second song that's going to be on radio. And this song is unknown to me. Is it... What is it called?
It's called Unknown.
Oh, it's called Unknown. Oh,
okay. Well, it's kind of about being alone and not really knowing how to like deal with that, because like there's so many people who feel alone no matter what it is. Like they don't feel like people notice their work, or they feel like people are there for them when they need it. And this song's just reminding you, you're not alone.
And kids at school or kids
yeah.
So wow. And what are a couple of the words that you write about in the song?
Like it's not always easy like to it sounds easier on paper than it does in real life. Like, you can't just go up to people and be like, be my friend. It's much more than just doing it to try to fix it. So just saying, like, try your best, but nobody's, even though you might feel alone, you're just you, and if people can't see that, that's not your problem. It's not your fault.
Yeah, and there's some people that actually look really popular, and they're really alone too.
Yeah,
they have their stuff too. So it's interesting. There are a lot of people alone out there. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to share with all of us about this topic. The song is called "Unknown," and here is Amelia Cali Teschner performing "Unknown" for the first time on radio, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Thank you. The sun and the moon align for me. There's no one that she could see. Facing problems and battles alone, she couldn't help, she was unknown. Fight your battles and don't pick fights.
Cali Teschner, and I wish everybody could have seen that little smile you gave at the end of the song. Was that hopefully I'm proud of myself?
I hope so. I messed up a couple times, but nerves.
No worries. Beautiful. We got the message, and that's what counts. Thank you so much, Amelia Cali Teschner. And you can go to Amelia Cali, AmeliaCalie.com to learn more about her. Amelia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Lisa Marie Wilson, for being with us. Oh, you're all...
I'm trying not to cry.
Oh, somebody get her a tissue. We should have tissues in here. Thank you. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
What a pleasure. Well, with that, that is our show. Big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Volpe. Dajo, reminding you that as your life changes like ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.